A lot of people have heard a lie concerning poverty. People have heard that poverty will teach you something. That's not what the Bible says. Poverty will destroy you.
It didn't teach me anything I wanted to remember.
Right. Poverty is something that if you don't hear the truth about that whole deal, you'll buy it, you'll settle for it.
Poverty doesn't have to be a part of your life. God desires for you to live in prosperity. Find out more from Kenneth Copeland and his guest, Dr. Creflo A. Dollar, as they share steps to living in the blessing of God, next on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Would you join me today on The Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast? And welcome Creflo Dollar back to this studio.
Thank you, sir.
And back to this program. Praise the Lord. Creflo, this has been just a dynamite session all last week and this week. I think I owe you a public apology because I can't keep my mouth shut and I want to hear what you got to say about this. But that's what you get for getting me so excited about what has built my life from a life of poverty. Now, my mom and dad were not poverty people. They were believers. Mm-hmm. But I turned my back on them. Mm-hmm. And I turned my back on the very thing that my dad and mother took a vow and on their wedding day, in their wedding vows, to tithe every dollar that came into their hands, mm-hmm. man. Mm-hmm. They really didn't know the ins and outs of tithing that we've learned over years and years and years, but they knew God said it in His Word, and He said He'd open the windows of heaven. Mm-hmm. And my daddy, little West Texas dirt farmer, and my mama come from the same place, never was 24 hours without a job all the way through the Great Depression. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, God took care of them. Mm-hmm. But I didn't want none of that. Well, I proved what I could do. I got out there and went bust so fast it wasn't even funny. And deep in debt, and my income, when I got saved, my income that year was well below the poverty level of the country. And I had been that way for quite a while. I didn't know how to get out of it. Mm-hmm. And came from that with a cursed, demonic life into the blessing of God, man. Mm-hmm. And those steps, very definite steps to take. And as you talk about them, man, it just floods my consciousness with memories and victories, man. Ain't nothing quite like taking God's word and standing on it and facing the devil and spit right between his eyes with the word of God, man, and watch him shake and bow his knee to the name of Jesus and be exercise victory on his sorry self and just walk out of there and you and Jesus and your family, man, you're victorious. There's nothing like it. There's no life on this earth like it.
Yeah, you know, you talk about poverty. A lot of people have heard a lie concerning poverty. People have heard that poverty will teach you something. That's not what the Bible says. Poverty will destroy you.
It didn't teach me anything I wanted to remember.
Right. Poverty is something that if you don't hear the truth about that whole deal, you'll buy it, you'll settle for it, you'll condition your life and your thinking to accept it and tolerate it.
You wear it like a coat.
Yeah, and I think what Scripture says that a poor man's poverty is his destruction. So it destroys lives. And yet the word of God has been released to break that spirit of poverty.
Creflo, money is not the answer to poverty.
No.
I've seen people, I know people, mm-hmm. that were poor people. Mm-hmm. They thought poor, lived poor, raised poor. Mm-hmm. They got some money, mm-hmm. but they still had a poor mind, mm-hmm. a poor way of thinking, mm-hmm. and they're... A poor man with money will kill you over a little because he ain't going to give any of it. He's not abundant-minded in God. He's poor-minded, and boy, money then becomes his God. Mm-hmm. And that's dangerous.
Mm-hmm. You have to be careful. You can take a guy. The word, first of all, is the answer for poverty. The word of
absolutely.
God.
The
word
of God
is
problem.
Yeah. It's a spiritual problem, not a financial situation. Of course, there's a financial situation there, but you can take a poor guy out of a ghetto, put him in a mansion in the best neighborhood. Now, if you haven't delivered him from the spirit of poverty and that mindset, that poverty mindset, it won't be long before he will attract all of those things he left into the new neighborhood, into the new house. Won't be long before you got three or four cars jacked up on bricks in the driveway. It won't be long before the shutters are all falling apart. Why? Because that same poverty spirit dwells on the inside of him, and it's attracting all of those trimmings that he was used to. Yeah, that's what it does. It destroys. And so we've been talking about those practical things that you need to do that maybe you don't get the idea that you need to do from the pulpit when we're talking about these principles. But we've been pretty open the last several days talking about the fact that, yes, this is going to require training. Yes, yeah. This is going to cost you something. Yeah, you might have to lock yourself up in a room for 7 days and go over and over again. Yeah, you're going to have to work to get this thing to happen. But it's a work that's called rest. Eventually,
yes,
our work needs to enter into a rest.
Man.
And we've been talking about that. But
if you ain't resting, it ain't faith.
What if you ain't resting? You don't believe it. You don't believe it. You're not gonna rest when you don't believe the issue is solved.
I have seen people, they got hold of God's word, right in the middle of a ghetto situation, hard stuff, brother. Mm-hmm. And begin to exercise God's word. Mm-hmm. And the inside of them began to change the ghetto. The ghetto no longer had control over them. Mm-hmm. And their thinking began to change. Mm-hmm. And the surroundings began to change. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't long until those surroundings either changed or it couldn't handle them no more. It just spewed them out of there.
Yeah.
I saw it in China. Mm-hmm. I saw a man, this man personally told me, he said, "You see that guy riding that little three-wheel bicycle along with a little pickup bed on the back of it?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "That's what I was." He said, "I was a toilet paper peddler." And he said, I sold it, I hauled it for other people, and they'd pile stuff on that little bed on the back of that bicycle. It's so big they couldn't pedal the thing. Mm-hmm. He said, "I was born in a 3-square-meter room." That was our whole home. Mm-hmm. 3 square meters. That's 9 square feet, man. Mm-hmm. He said, "We ate there. We slept there. I was born there. My brother and sister were born in that room. My daddy was born in that room. And I figured I'd live all my life pedaling that bicycle in that room." Now, he said, we accepted Jesus as our Lord. But when we did, the church people told us that if we had the more material things that we could shed, the more righteous we would become." And he said, "I started trying to get rid of what little I had." But he said, "Somebody brought me the word of faith and the covenant of God's word." He said, "I got a Bible." And he said, "Somebody began to bring your tapes in here and different other people's tapes in here. And they began to find out who we were and who you are and who Jesus is and how this thing works." But right there in the middle of that horrible little room existence, they began to grow out of there. Mm-hmm. And his whole deal wasn't to just make money. He was trying to come up with saying, "How can I bless the body of Christ?
Yes.
I'm going to print these books whether the government likes it or not. I'm going to do these different things." He began to prosper. Mm-hmm. God began to prosper him financially. Mm-hmm. He showed me a picture of his new home. It was his 6th new home.
Mm-hmm.
And there wasn't nobody around that didn't know he's supposed to have one.
Mm-hmm.
And he just kept prospering. Well, now there are a lot of people. I can't talk much more about it because these people are underground over there. But they're just being blessed all over that country. And Everybody's talking about China being so blessed financially. Where do you think it's coming from? It's not coming from that communist government.
Amen.
There's a bunch of tithing, believing, giving, seed sowing, word preaching believers in there that have taken authority, and it's working, brother.
Either you're going to believe this or you're not.
It's working.
And I'm telling you, when you begin as a pastor, as a preacher of the gospel, how can I not want to preach this to people that I say I love when I see that they are in need spiritually, mentally, physically,
and can't
financially,
pay their bills.
Can't pay their bills, can't live like God wants them to live. And then I'm going to be afraid to talk about this because I'm scared about, you know, what somebody's going to think about me, or they're going to call me a prosperity
preacher. I'm not in this to get their money. I'm in this to get money to them.
Yes, sir. Well, that's what covenant is. Covenant says it is not about taking advantage of someone. It is about giving advantage to someone.
Yeah,
and when you understand what covenant is and how it operates, we were talking about this, I guess, yesterday. You are looking for the opportunity to give the advantage. That's what covenant is.
Oh, yeah.
When I married my wife, I look for the opportunity to give her the advantage. She looks for the opportunity to give me the advantage. It's an exchange of strength and getting rid of the weaknesses. Covenant is designed to get rid of the weaknesses. But it will impact your mind to the point, as a covenant man, you'll begin to think in line with that covenant. That covenant. The Bible says that God's heart, it's been imprinted. That covenant is imprinted on his heart.
Oh, man,
he can't forget about it. He's not going to go away from it.
That is so wonderful.
And it really just affects me in my heart and emotions when I think of people who know the answer, but they're afraid to preach it because they're afraid they're going to be criticized. And they're people.
Well, they are going to be.
Well, Jesus was. You know, you go to 100-fold, you're going to get ready for the persecution that comes with it.
Now, I don't hide my blessing from anybody.
Yeah.
I give the source of them.
Mm-hmm.
I have wonderful things.
Mm-hmm.
But I read this from one of the most highly respected rabbis in the world that has studied the blessing of Abraham extensively. He is a modern-day sage of the Word of God, most powerful man.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that God placed in every man the desire to be blessed, the desire to expand and be better than what he is now. Mm-hmm. He wants his children to be better than what he is now.
Mm-hmm.
To have the idea that God wanted you to be poor is foolishness, because he would have started him in the briars and the thistles instead of the Garden of Eden.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he said, if you, however, desire to prosper just for yourself, you have severely, seriously limited your ability to prosper, because you don't intend to expend it on anybody but you. So how many cars can you drive? How many suits can you wear? I mean, that this is not the issue with God. But when you take Abraham's command, Abraham's blessing to be a blessing, and you begin to give, and you raise your vision to your church and to your community and to your nation and to God's family, he said, then you have moved into an area of super abundance, super wealth. This ministry, your ministry, you and Taffy, Glory and me, we give far, way out there further than what we keep.
And faith and prosperity and prayer will always be in its immature state until it goes from you to somebody else.
Absolutely true.
Prayer can't just be for you. It's got to turn into an intercession for somebody else.
Yeah.
Your faith just can't be for you, but for somebody else. And finances, how you use them, it's immature if it's not being used to be a blessing. Now, that now determines what I need. I need money so I can build that hospital over in Cameroon. I need money so I can supply education here. I need money so I can minister to those people that need to be ministered to. I'm going to get blessed if I be a blessing, just like if you jump in the water, you going to get wet.
You're going to get wet. And God's idea is the blessing. Jesus said, now, and this is the understanding of this scripture. People have joked about it, laughed about it, but this ain't no laughing matter to God. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Because what you have to give is whatever you have received. Now, as you give, then you release blessing to work and operate in your life, which creates, it becomes a seed that creates more coming into you, not to keep, but to bless. Now, when you do, then the blessing is expanding all the time. And that's God's whole idea, was to create the Garden of Eden for every child of God ever to live on this earth.
You know, what most theologians or people will say, they will use Ephesians 1 and 3, where it says that God hath already blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And they'll amplify that area, spiritual blessings. See there, it's the spiritual part of it. It's a spiritual part of what God gave you. Now, wait a minute. You cannot separate spiritual blessings from physical material blessings.
That's where material comes
That's
from.
Where it comes from. All physical material things come from God, who is a spirit. The spirit realm is the parent realm of all physical material things. So whatever you look like in the physical natural realm is just a reflection of what you look like in the spiritual realm.
Absolutely true.
And if people people will begin to understand, this book is about making impact on the spiritual world and the spiritual realm.
Creflo, the word says, Jesus went to the cross. He was made a curse for us so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the nations or all the rest of them through him. Mm-hmm. Now, the Lord... This came out my mouth in Mack and Lynn Hammond's church up in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and I was going into this in depth in the financial area of it, because that's what the people of the church asked me to do, and so I was doing that. I heard this come out my mouth, and it just stuck to me right then. You're not blessed because you're rich.
Mm-hmm.
You're rich because you're blessed.
That's true.
Now, Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. It maketh. It maketh rich. So the blessing came first. Now, the world thinks they're blessed after they get rich. So they're trying to get blessed, and the only way they know to do it is gather up riches. Now, you find that in the 73rd Psalm. That says the ungodly gather up riches in the world. They're out there in that Babylonian system of finance in the world. All slavery came out of that system. All theft and stealing came out of that system. Crooked business came out of that system. It's a non-covenant world where anything goes. Why? I can't be blessed till I get rich. Now, I'm not blessed because I'm rich. I'm rich because I'm blessed. I found out I was blessed when I was poor. I began to think blessed. I began to talk blessed. I began to move with the blessing of Abraham. I thought, this ain't nothing but a matter of time. I'm already rich, man. It just has to have time to manifest. And it did. Well, I'm not blessed because I'm well in my body.
Yeah.
I'm well because I'm blessed. I'm not blessed because I'm saved. I got saved by the blessing. It's just... You have to change your thinking. This is what you were talking about yesterday.
Yeah, this is the seed for success. So success comes out of that seed of the blessing.
Yes, it does.
And it's that empowerment. I have to be empowered. In fact, if you talk about the fact, well, how does God get it to you? I've had people that could have come to me. Well, how does it come to you? What's God's way to do it? Well, here's how God does it. He takes his word and he allows that wisdom to come through you. He will empower you with insight, revelation, concepts, witty inventions, directions. God will begin to put that on the inside, and if you will begin to obey, it'll take you to the places where...
That is a
result of the blessing on your life, the blessing of wisdom and insight and concepts and direction and knowing what to do with it. It's not raining out the sky anywhere.
You know what? You know that word that the scripture uses in talking about Abraham? He sojourned in the land of promise. He really didn't know where he was going. He did going somewhere. But he sojourn means to walk through it like you own it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And kings respected him. Mm-hmm. And kings wanted his wife till he found out who she was. And they said, hey, you get out of here. You get that woman. You take all the money you can carry. Uh-huh. And you get out of here. I don't know. No. Well, he didn't need to be there. Uh-huh. And so the blessing is moving him and blessing him. God didn't send him over there because the place was blessed. The place got blessed because he sent him over there.
And it should be happening today. That when we show up with the most powerful thing that a man
yes,
can imagine.
Amen.
And that's the seed of the blessing. That when we open our mouths and we speak this word and we release and we place a demand, Lord, fill the blessing in this place right here. That's what happened when we went to that African nation that I told you about, where they invited me over to come in Uganda.
Yeah, Uganda, yeah.
To minister, yeah. And on purpose, they said, we want you to come over here to break the spirit of poverty. And they advertised it all the whole time about breaking the spirit of poverty. And 120,000 people gathered into this stadium and sat there for 2 hours while I went from step by step to show them exactly what it was and release the blessing on them. And they had been believing God for oil. And I sat and met with the first lady of that country, and she said, we now have oil. Could you talk to Parliament and give us some suggestions of how to use our newfound wealth? She saw CNN, and CNN said something like, well, Uganda, it's cursed. She says, we're cursed? Who told us we're cursed? Did you say that we're cursed? We're not cursed. I thought we were blessed. We are blessed. And she got to go, and I said, ma'am, I agree with you.
Yeah,
you are blessed. But we should be depositors of the blessing. That's what we do. Every time that plane lands, we deposit the blessing. And we should expect for things
yes,
to
sir.
Change
yes,
because we carry the blessings
yes,
to
sir.
Places
and
around
I might
the world.
Add to this point right here. That's the reason God demanded you mm-hmm. to believe for that airplane.
Yes, sir.
He demanded me mm-hmm. to believe God for this kind of an airplane mm-hmm. because yeah. He is commanding us to go into all that world mm-hmm. and take the blessing of the resurrected Jesus in there. The blessing of Abraham belongs to them, whomever they are, mm-hmm. and I don't need to be calling on the world to have the ability to do that.
Amen.
I found out God's for me if I just stand on my cross.
Yes, yes.
And we're out of time.
Yes.
We're going to read 3 John. We're going to read it tomorrow. Amen. Christ, Lord, I'll be back in just a moment.
Does it feel like your life is a mess? Is everything spinning around and you don't know what steps it will take to get you to the life your heart desires? In Dr. Creflo Dollar's new book, 8 Steps to Create the Life You Want, you'll learn proven practical advice to live out your destiny and step boldly in the direction of the life you really want. No matter what you'll ever think of or desire for your life, nothing compares to the overflowing beauty of the life that God is sculpting for you as you remain flexible and obedient in His hands. A better life doesn't just come from a change in circumstances. Learn powerful keys to help unlock your true potential. Find out how to overhaul your thinking, take charge of your emotions, establish healthy habits, develop godly character, embrace your destiny, and much more. No matter what decisions you made yesterday, today is a new day, and God is ready to take you to a life you really want. To request your copy of 8 Steps to Create the Life You Want, log on to our website at kcm.org and order online. This new book by Creflo Dollar, now specially priced at just $16, will show you the tools you need to live an abundant life full of confidence and peace. To request your book by phone, call toll-free 800-575-4455 or write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas 76192. Order today.
Let me read this. What does the Word say? It says the Word is near you. It is even in your mouth, excuse me, and in your heart. That's the Word of faith which we preach. Now, we've been preaching the Word of faith into you all in this broadcast. That if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shall be saved. That is a guaranteed promise. Mm-hmm. Now, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with his mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, and the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Mm-hmm. Now, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, now's the time. Just pray this with me. Pray it out loud. Say it with your mouth. You believe it in your heart. Say it with your mouth. O God in heaven. I believe with all my heart.
I believe with all my heart.
Jesus has been raised from the dead. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. I repent of sin. I renounce the past. I renounce the devil and everything he stands for. Jesus, you're my future. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. To overflowing.
I receive.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you prayed that with us today, Creflo and I want to know it. Get online, call, write, use the information on your screen. I want to send you these 5 little books to help you get started on your plan to have. And this little simple brochure will teach you how to study the Bible. It's not a hard, difficult book, but you need help to get started in it. I'll send it to you free and postpaid. Amen. Get in church this weekend. Read your Bible. You know what to do if you're in Atlanta. You go to World Changers. Praise God. Creflo and I'll see you tomorrow. And remember, Jesus is the Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. If you made Jesus the Lord of your life today, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland welcome you to the family of God. To help you get started learning your Bible, they have put together a special salvation package, which includes 5 books and a study brochure. Request your free package online when you log on to kcm.org. This is the year of the fullness of blessing. Take hold of the promises of God and receive the manifestation of the blessing without measure.
It's like going from the shallow end of the pool to jumping into the deep end of the pool.
Jump into faith, hope, and love at the 2008 Southwest Believers Convention, August 4th through 9th at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, Jerry Savelle, Jesse Duplantis, and Creflo Dollar for 6 empowering days with believers from around the world. Experience the presence of God in worship and immerse yourself in God's Word as it changes you forever. Special services also include Super Kid Academy for ages 6 through 12 and 1440 for junior high and high school. There's a place for the whole family. To find out more, call 800-600-7395 or visit kcm.org.